For you, so thankful for this opportunity to hear from heaven, dear Lord God. We thank you for those that have gathered themselves here today. My prayer, Heavenly Father, is that everyone has ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. You know, Father God, 8 times in the Gospels you mentioned that, having ears to hear. 7 times in the book of Revelation is the phrase that we're able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, whatever heart issues that we have, we're getting rid of them. Whatever's confusing in our minds, we're letting that go, Heavenly Father. The things that we're worried about for this week and all that's going on in life, we will put that on the shelf, Heavenly Father, and really receive your engrafted word with meekness. Father, I thank you for transformed lives, not just people coming together every week to hear, and there is no transformation. But Father, there's real, true transformation, and ultimately, you are pleased. I pray that not for our church here. I pray that for Grace Baptist right up the street, dear Lord God. We pray for the Lutheran church, the Vietnamese church, Heavenly Father. There's a Korean church down the street. We pray for Crossroads, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for Connection Church, dear Lord God. We pray for Living Truth, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would just pour your spirit out upon the churches here in Corona, in the Inland Empire, throughout the state of California, and across America. Let everyone who agree with that say...
Amen.
Bless you all. Bless you all. To our first-time guests, I want to say thank you for taking the time to come and worship with us this morning. Your presence does much to enhance our worship experience. I pray that you just sit back and receive all that God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So today we're going to continue. We're going to conclude our series called Deeper. Say Deeper.
Deeper.
And our scriptural text today is Matthew 23:23. Listen closely. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? I want you to pause there for a second. Sorrow is awaiting the teachers. Sorrow is awaiting the teachers. Oh, I know the word. I've read the Bible through 4 times, Pastor. Sorrow is awaiting the teachers. Oh, Pastor, I got a word. Sorrow is awaiting the teachers. Sorrow. Now, it's really difficult to teach what you don't know. I mean, but a lot of times you are teaching what you do know. But sometimes it's just information. It hasn't really settled in your hearts. And that's why when we look at the world of people outside of Christianity, outside the kingdom, all our statistics are the same. Divorce rate the same. Actually, I don't know if it's true, but the abortion rate is very high in a church. It's right near where the world is. That means we're fornicating. That means you're having sex and you're not married and you're getting pregnant. It shouldn't be so. What sorrow awaits you, teachers? Now, here's the thing. If sorrow is waiting the teachers, man, what does it say about the rest of us? But today's message is deeper. And I really want you guys today the emphasis is going deeper in your relationship with the Lord. It says here, hypocrites. And hypocrites just is another way of saying mask wearers. Wearers of the mask. Okay? When I was growing up, when I was a young man, we called it perpetrating. Are you perpetrating? My brother, I think he would call it flossing. That's another word the next generation ever use. Oh, man. You remember Will Smith in that movie, in that rap song he did, Driving 2 Miles Per Hour So Everybody Sees You? You remember that song?
Yeah.
What is it, Summertime? Summertime. And I ain't mad at Will because he stole it from Kool and the Gang, my generation. You know. But the whole thing, driving 2 miles per hour so everybody sees you. So the idea is that I'm going slow because I need that validation from you. I need to see you. Now, whatever that's called in that generation, it's the same thing here, okay? Hypocrites, a mask wearer. For you are careful, and I need you to see this. You are careful to tithe. And I'm going to take my time in this verse, okay? You're careful to tithe. Now, let me explain something about tithing. For you guys that have a challenge with it, tithing is 10% of your income. Whatever's coming into your house, every time you get some money, 10% is supposed to go to the church. Now, it goes to the church so we can pay the bills. Somebody, them pastors, that's them pastors. This church, bills need to be paid. 10% is to come here. I ain't one of them pastors. I'm not your former pastor. We have an accounting team here. We have an advisor team here. Everything, every I's dotted and T is crossed. Okay? But 10% is to come here. You say, well, that's not in the New Testament. Matthew 23:23, and this is Jesus speaking. And he's talking about people whose sorrow is waiting them, telling them that they need to tithe. And these guys even tithe the tiniest income from their herb gardens. They were serious about tithing. I want to point out something to you about the tithe, though. The tithe belongs to the Lord, according to Leviticus 23. It does. It's God's. It's not yours. So here's the thing. When we give the tithe, okay, you guys say, well, Pastor, I don't know, I'm struggling, I'm not doing it now. Okay, then you pray and believe God. I'm going to pray even right now, Father, help me to get in position so that I can be obedient to what your word says. And this message is not about tithing, not at all, but here it is right here. Jesus is saying you have these people that are tithing. This is the norm. This is the expectation. And so you say, well, we're under the new covenant. Show me where you shouldn't. And let's just for the sake of argument, you want to argue about it. Even if you didn't have to, why wouldn't you anyway? Don't you want to see others blessed and help? We pay taxes. I know some of y'all don't like doing that, but if your house catch on fire, you're going to call the fire department. How do you think they get paid? But Pastor, you just sit around all week. Pastor, just sit around all week. Well, firemen do too, until you need them. See, sometimes we got this thing. You got to ask yourself, well, why don't I want to give? Because it's all about you. Or it's fear. It's fear. I'm not mad at you for a long time. I'm trying to remember. 1990. When did we go on that cruise? 92. That first time we went on a cruise, 92? No, it was 92. I think it was 92. We did a Caribbean cruise. And I ain't even in my notes. Okay, wait. Anyway, so we did a Caribbean cruise. But what happened was we had stopped going to church, but I kept putting my tithe to the side. You know, I kept, because, you know, we didn't have a church home for a while, but I kept. And then we got so far from God that a friend of mine, Michelle Hernandez, said, hey, let's go on a cruise. I took that tithe money and paid for our cruise. And me and Jackie fought like cats and dogs, too. That was the worst time ever. Sick of her. I was ready to push her overboard. No, I'm playing. I'm going to push her overboard. It was a bad time, but I don't have them kind of thoughts, okay? I'm being silly. Somebody take that little clip from the internet, pull it down, and say, he's hating on his wife. No, I'm playing. Okay. But here's the thing. And then we stopped tithing until we started going back to Zoe in 2001. But since 2001, I've been tithing ever since. Everything we get is 10%. In fact, I think our giving is something like 16%, I figure, of whatever we've been receiving. And it's just being intentional about it. So I'm not, it's not a message on tithing. One day I'm going to really do a good teaching on it so you'll understand. It's all about your heart. Yes. And of course you say, well, God knows my heart. Right, that's what he's saying. Right. And it's funny, people crack me up with that, well, God knows my heart. That's scary. That's scary. Because the heart is wicked and deceitful. Yeah, okay, it's deceiving you. Okay, and I spent way too much money on that part. Okay, but here we go. Too much time on that part. But no, I didn't. Okay, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. Watch this, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law. So tithing is like elementary. Yes. It's the beginning. So tithe is 10%. Say 10%. 10%. 10%. And so if you give $50 and you actually made $1,000, that's not a tithe. So in that little envelope or wherever you're doing, push pay, you go online, that's not a tithe. That's an offering. Okay, you want to get to the point that you're tithing and you're giving offerings. That's where you really want to get into. The tithe is Lord. Wow. Okay, the tithe is the tithe belongs to God. So you're really not doing anything. You're just giving him something that's already his. You really want to step him to the blessing. That's when an offering comes. That's where that's your sowing seed. Okay, everybody got that? Okay. All right. And okay, so here we go. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law. Okay, justice, mercy, and faith. So I know people that tithe, but they mean as a junkyard dog. The other thing, too, is even on the tithing, okay, but you need justice. Now most of us, we want justice when it's something to do with us. But sometimes you got to call people on their stuff. Because I've had situations. I remember one time I had a friend of mine, two friends, and one, they were always tripping, and the other one, good. Just pretty much cool. But this one saw an opportunity to jump on this one about something. And then this one jumped on number two. And then number one looked at me for validation. I looked at him on number one. No, you're wrong. And it was like, I can't believe you. Now you're not backing me up. No, you're wrong. Now, this one, number two, is usually wrong, but in this instance, not wrong. So I just can't, you got to give justice. Got to give justice. Moms, too. That child of yours, that little angel, that's your angel. He's the teacher's devil. And sometimes that little child gets home, that needs to be some justice for the teacher. Whop, Wow. Okay, some correction. But also, too, another important aspect is mercy. And mercy is when you're wrong. You're out of order. You messed up. You came up short. You have to be merciful towards people. It doesn't mean you got to drop the hammer on them every time. Another thing that's more important here is faith. Faith is crucial. You got to trust God. You got to believe in God. Now, here's a hallmark of faith, though, because I see some of us, I got faith, I'm going to have a Mercedes. That ain't faith. That's good credit and a down payment. You can get your Mercedes, okay? That doesn't take any faith. Faith is obedience to what God said to do. True faith is obedience. It's a whole nother message. So let's keep reading. You should tithe, yes. What did Jesus say? You should tithe, yes. Got it? You should tithe, yes. You should tithe, Jesus, you know, your Savior, him, you know, yeah. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So here's the things. So we're talking about going deeper in our relationship. So even if you are a tither and even if you are a teacher, you can go deeper in your relationship with the Lord. So again, today is not about tithing. I spent more time on it than I planned to. But here's the thing. There are more important things. Here's bullet number one. God cares deeply about people. That's why he sent his son to save mankind. He cares deeply about people. He cares. He cares. Now, for many of us, you know, they get on my nerves. I can't stand being around people. That's so funny. It's so funny. I say that because I get that. Because there's a small group of people, not only introverts, they got this anti, and it's really subtle. They know how to be nice, but it's real subtle. It's real subtle. That's not a God. And when you say that I don't need people, you're cutting off what God wants to do, because everything he does, every blessing you will ever receive is going to come through the hands of somebody else. He uses people. God cares deeply about people. That's why he sent his son to save mankind. Now, so here's the thing. I need to care about what God cares about. Okay, so here's the thing. So I need a word. Go to Facebook and just type in, do a search, I need a word. And it's so good because I don't know, whoever puts this together, they be putting together some good stuff. Yes, they'll take a clip from, like, all these different pastors go online. I don't know how they do it, but it's really cool. I mean, some powerful stuff. It's really cool. But I noticed something. 9 out of 10 of the clips they take is something for an individual. Because you need a word. You ever stop to think that maybe somebody in your life needs a word? Position yourself so you can be a blessing, for we are blessed to be a blessing. And most of those times, when I'm looking at whatever little nugget, it's something for an individual. I saw someone post recently, just this week on Facebook, I'm joining this church because the pastor spoke over me and it manifested. It's about you. It's about you. It's about you and what you mean. Well, you know what? I'm over there at New Day, but what pastor's talking about, I'm talking about what the Bible says. And see, it's one thing to tickle you and make you feel good and get you going out here and feeling like, oh, I need another word for get me through another week. You know, you need to get to the point where you transform, where your week is not something you got to overcome every Sunday and every Monday. You wake up, and I hear people say, okay, devil, here I come. Why is it every week you and a devil fighting? It's like it becomes like, oh, Lord, Pastor, you don't know. Okay. Have you ever been in a relationship, though, where the person only focuses on what they can get from you? Yeah. Sisters, you married now and good, hallelujah. But go back to before you got married. Remember him? You even called him selfish. It's all about him. And he would be nice. And then when the goal was met, when you know, he achieved, you know, he'd come away, you know, and fine, ain't see him for a minute. How do you think God feels when we just come to him when we want something? And the scripture does say, come boldly to the Lord in a time of need, come boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need. And you should go to God. He has to be your source. He does. But at what point do we decide that, you know what, let me go and help someone else? Let's get into this. Look at Luke chapter 9, please. Luke 9, verse 49 and 56. Now, I want to show you something. This is significant because now we're going to talk about James and John, especially John, okay? Now, John is funny. So, I don't know, 15 years ago, I'm reading. Maybe longer than that. I'm reading, okay? And I noticed something in the book of John, which John Jesus' disciple John wrote, he keeps referring to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loves. Now, if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't say that about John. John's a funny one. Let's look at John, okay? Now, at this point here, Luke 9, it says in verse 49, now John answered and said, now John and Jesus, the whole group is together, okay? That's the context here. And then we're going to look at John and just where his attitude, or where his mindset was, okay? Now John answered and said, Master, speaking of Jesus, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. Okay, so Minister Dwayne, once you cast a demon out of, come in and start, you're going to cast a demon out of Minister Terry. Yeah. And she said, please. Now, if you can just sit right there, sit right there. And then take authority over the demon. In fact, you know, Elder Kelvin, come help him because, you know, she got a big one. So okay, all right, yeah. So y'all take authority over the demon. Now, I'm John, okay?
Wait,
what's your name?
Porky.
What's your name?
John.
No, I'm John. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. You're Kelvin. Frank Kelvin. Okay, whatever. Okay. What y'all doing here? What y'all doing? But I ain't never seen y'all with me and Jesus. Y'all stop doing that. Y'all go back to where you go back to wherever you came from. You don't roll with us. No, you ain't part of the crew. No. What y'all doing? I'm John. I'm Jesus' disciple. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves.
I heard about you.
Yeah, exactly. But I ain't heard about you, so have a seat, bro. Now, in the meantime, Terry, can you stand up for a second? Why didn't John ever care about Terry? She needs to be set free. She got it. Stand up. Okay, here's her son. God bless him. He got a mama with a demon. You see what I'm saying? John didn't consider the impact this is having on him. And then, you know, he's going to be getting married soon. How did he have on your wife? And y'all going to have some kids. And this is going to be your grandmama, the demon lady. So you think about, okay, have a seat. Give him a hand, please. But the thing is that, now let's look at John. He says, watch this, verse 49. Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. Wait, John has been with Jesus at this point almost 3.5 years. Walking with Jesus, seeing all these miracles. If John can still have a little $2 attitude, what does that say about me and you? Where was his compassion for Terry? What was the love? What was the mercy? Where's the justice? Where's the grace? He's so full of himself. And he ain't the only one. Peter was too. Read the last chapter of John when Jesus is telling Peter what's going to happen at the end of his life. And Jesus and Peter is talking. And Peter turns to look at John and says, well, what about him? And Jesus, in so many words, can you just handle your own business? Why are you all up in somebody else's? It amazes people. I hear when we first-time guests, some of the things they say when I say, what would you like most about the church? They say, well, you pray for other churches. Why do you find that so surprising? 90,000 people just in Corona don't go to church. 2,000 will show up here next week. And still leaves what? 88,000? We need more churches in Corona. We don't have enough. Verse 50. Watch this. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Why didn't this boy know this? Now, what don't I know? What am I missing? Where am I coming up short? No, for real, that's real talk. I'll be driving the freeway, I'm thinking like, Lord, show me my heart. Father, you know what? Show me the deep recesses. Where am I missing it? Where am I not really connecting with you? Where am I just maybe leveraging my relationship with you for personal gain or personal benefit? Then I begin to think about the last 5 or 6 prayers, like help me and Jackie, you know, heal Brian, you know, and it's for me lately, it's been a whole lot with my family because of what we've been going through. But even in that, I still have to purposely, intentionally pray for other people. Yeah. In order to go deeper, verse 51, watch this. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up to go to heaven, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans. Okay, these like, and forgive me for this term, and it's not politically correct, but these are half-breeds, okay? They mix with Jews and mix with some other stuff, okay, to prepare for him. 53, but they, the Samaritans, did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Jesus knew it was time for the cross. He knew Passover was coming, and so he had to, you know, he was on his way. And a lot of times people want you to do what they want to do, and he just wasn't able to at that time. He had a set time to go to be in Jerusalem for everything to transpire that was in the scriptures, okay? 54, and when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Wait, just as Elijah did. And this is where we mess up. In the Old Testament, Elijah called down fire, burned up some people, but that was a whole different deal. So let me stay up here. So here's the, oh, help me, Jesus. Okay. Jesus had just rebuked him about the demon, casting the demon. And it just, you think he would kind of come to his senses. No. He's like, okay, you want us to call down fire in the name of protecting Jesus. We're going to burn up. What makes you think you're going to barbecue some people? What is? This is arrogance. This is a height of arrogance. It's a spiritual arrogance. This is you've been just full of you. You know, people go to Bible college. You come out, you got your cap and gown, and you're all good, and I'm down with that. We've had 27, I think, go through this. Cool. I love it. And hallelujah, y'all did it. And I want more. You got to get that. I'm all for that. Some people we paid. We helped them to go. I'm all for education. But here's the thing. The Bible, and you got your new knowledge. But in Corinthians, it says this. Knowledge puffs up. Yes. Purpose of that knowledge is so you can feel good about you and lord it over other people. Or is it that you get this knowledge so you can help people get delivered and set free and discover their purpose and be about their Father's business? Watch what Jesus says, 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. So what is that spirit that's influencing you? Well, I'm saved. I can't have a demon. Okay, you might not be possessed, but you oppressed. You're demonically influenced. He's influencing you. He's influencing you through your thoughts. You notice here's the thing he does. You know you gravitate towards your dominant way of being anyway. You guys have got a little edge about you. You know you just get meaner. And you ever wonder why everywhere you go, you always having problems? You don't think that's a demonic influence? Because the enemy, and I've done this before. Brother Ed, can you come here? Because I need somebody tall and strong, good looking like you. All right. Can you stand here, please? All right. Now, he does it. This is not him, so I'm going to use this. Is going to be a great example. But let's say you're like that person I just described. Just half the time you mean on edge, you're quick to get angry, and always there's always a little edge about you, okay? So that's your natural way of, I mean, generally that's the person that focus, get it done, make it happen, don't take no mess, that kind of deal, okay? And most of the CEOs and most of the people who run nations, and it ain't just Trump, it's a whole lot of them, because I get around other nations too. Trump is just a new kid on the block, okay? Now, if you voted for him, great, hallelujah. If you didn't, whatever. This ain't about that. I need you to listen for a moment, okay? Just listen. I need you to hear me, okay? Because now what happens is whatever your propensity is, when you get traumatized as a child, as a young person, whatever, you default to what you're familiar with. So you begin to lean in that direction. If you can just lean to your left a little bit, okay? Now, he's stronger than me, but see, I just pushed him like that, and he fell over because he's already leaning in that direction. But now, if you really know who you are in Christ and understand who you are, you stand flat-footed, and the devil comes up and does this, nothing's happening. And that's why I want a lot of us to get to that point where the enemy comes in, and he can't move you, he can't shake you, he can't upset you, he can't get to you. But the only way to do that, you got to go deeper in Christ. In my bedroom right now, we have a ceiling fan. And has, oh, thank you. Give Brother Ed a hand, please. I got a ceiling fan, and one of the lights is out, just one of the four. So it's still light in the room. So this morning, I get up and put my socks on and put my suit on. I come downstairs, and I'm putting my shoes on. I look, I thought I had on blue socks. I got on black socks. And I still got on black socks, and I wasn't going back upstairs. Like, whatever. But the thing is that even though there was light in my bedroom, it wasn't enough light. So the more light I get, the better I see. And so if you draw closer and closer to God, the better you're going to see. The clearer things are going to be. And some of us, we content to have three light bulbs when we could have four. It's something you're holding on to, something you're so scared of. You won't risk it anymore. You won't even step. He wants us to go deeper with him. We sometimes have issues with people who are not like us. We saw somebody casting out demons in your name, but they don't roll with us. So last week, we go to Pastor Teresa and Pastor Nati's church, and they had just two guitar players, and the worship was real soft. I like Brother Ken. He got a bass. Boom, 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 boom. I grew up with a bass. Now, if I had grown up just that in South Bay and Torrance or something with mostly Caucasian, I would have been okay with the acoustic, even though I'm black. I know black people that grew up down there, and they wasn't in the Parliament and Funkadelic, like, you know, and Coolin' the Gang like I was. They were in the, like, Hall & Oates and some other white groups and all that. Hall & who? I know that. Or they had, like, the Electrical, you know, Eric Clapton and ELO and some other. Yeah, I used to skateboard. That's how I know these. Okay, so, yeah, I got around. Okay, hallelujah. But here's the thing. And so often, because people don't look like us and flow like us, we have a problem. No, we shouldn't. When we get to Israel next week, we're going to worship. I forgot what day it is. We're worshiping with some Palestinian Christians. See, everybody thinks most of the Palestinians are Muslim. They're not. They're some Christians, okay? And I guarantee you, when they go in that Hebrew, and we're going like, what kind of? They love God just as much as we love God. Don't criticize. So the thing with going deeper, you got to be caring, start caring about people. God requires us to be understanding, patient, and merciful. Merciful and patient with people. It takes longer for some people to get it. Lavelle, Todd, I need this. I need 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, King James Version, though. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, King James Version. Now watch this. Write it down, make a note or whatever. Okay, here we go. Watch this. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. What do we do with those that are unruly? Now see, my personality style is like, they just suck it up. They messed up. That's what they got what was coming to them. They should have known that before they did it. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what happened. Uh-huh. You reap what you sow. That's why. That was my attitude growing up in Compton. Not just growing up in Compton. I had that until I was about 35. 30. Yeah, I had that for a while. Even after I started speaking in tongues, spirit filled. Read, you know, learning the word of faith. I'm a man of faith now. Hallelujah. You know, spirit filled. What's wrong with you? You just need to make you. Ooh. Arrogant, huh? 5'7", 140 pounds, just full of pride. 6 months later, broke his own what, standing before a bankruptcy court. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But here's the other part. The another one says, comfort the feeble-minded. Feeble-minded literally means in Greek, weak in the soul. Weak in the psyche, soul, the psyche. Weak in the mind, the will, the emotions. Some people are just there. Some people just don't get it. And so what does it say? Comfort them. Why do they need comfort? If you guys are so smart and you got your degrees and all that, I ain't against degrees. I have a master's. I love degrees. Okay? Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, good. And if somebody paid for my PhD, I'll get one. Okay. I did. I saw some scholarships available, one online, but they didn't have a concentration I was interested in. No, seriously. Because I still got student loans. No more. Okay, here we go. Comfort the feeble-minded. So those that are weak in the soul. You guys remember people in school. Some kids or three or four of them, sometimes they just didn't get it. The teacher explained a math problem 12 different ways. Then take them to the side. Well, you say that's you? Okay. Amen. Well, we all got something. And so can you imagine how uncomfortable that is? Every time they got to go in that class and know that they got to face that, they got to go to math today, and it's a struggle. They're uncomfortable. Now, that's pretty much how they live their life. For many of us, we had some areas, like Minister Monique said, that was me. Well, that was just you at math because everything else, she's brilliant. She's smart, and she's an intelligent lady. She's quality. She really is. So that time in math was difficult for her. Can you imagine being that way 24/7? So why can't we have comfort with them? This is going deeper with the Lord. We have to care about what he cares about. He cares about people. You guys that are here that are saying, well, Pastor, I don't want to volunteer here. My leader didn't call me. My leader didn't do this. It's not about you and your leader. You go to your job and put up with stuff because you need that check. But and you come in here, maybe you're a leader, because we're working with the leaders. We got some special classes and trainings we're going to do. We're going to really take our game to the next level. We really are at this church. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It ain't about you and your leader. It's about people that are coming here that need God. So if you can focus on, I got to be in my post because there's somebody today, that one person might come to Christ, that one person might get delivered, that one person. See now, okay. Right, what I just said. Now, if I had said something encouraging and y'all about, you know, this is your week of breakthrough. God has you. He has your back. Is you coming into your season? You about to step into your graces. I got a word from the Lord. I'm prophesying to somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to, but this is your week. And y'all have been jumping up and going crazy. But I mentioned serving. Crickets. But I ain't mad at you. I'm going to tell you something. You want to go deeper, you got to get beyond self. You want to go deeper because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So who are you giving your life for? When we get to heaven, who's going to come up to you and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm here because of you, because you shared the gospel with me. You let me know. You want to go deeper? Clearly, Scripture says, draw closer to God. He'll draw closer to you. Draw near to me, I draw near to you. You waiting on him, he's waiting on you. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is...